What's up, everybody? It's Sam with the Rowdy Alternative Podcast. Today we're here with Talise. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Sam?
Great. Doing really good. I guess before we hop into anything, really, just kind of let us know what you've been up to, whether it be writing or playing shows. Just give us an idea on what you've been up to lately.
Well, I've been really focusing on writing and practicing mainly, and I'm currently down in the States visiting some friends, but I'm going to be announcing some tours soon and some release dates, so just kind of in the works right now, I guess. Yeah, a lot of things.
Right on. Sounds like you're busy, but that's a good thing, you know, as a musician. Yeah. So that's awesome. So just so people could kind of get to know you a bit. So you were based out of Canada. That's where you're from and everything, right?
Yep, born and raised.
Okay. I guess the first thing is can you kind of describe the music scene or what you're kind of surrounded by music-wise where you're from?
Well, I grew up playing a lot of blues. I was singing in blues bands as a teenager, and that's kind of my background. And come from a huge Deadhead family. I got the Bertha skull, so lots of jam band background for sure. But then I started playing banjo a few years ago at about 19, and I guess also Grateful Dead is pretty, you know, there's a huge Dead scene in Toronto where I lived for a while at that time, and it kind of introduced me to the Americana and old-time music and stuff like that. So there's a pretty sweet folk scene in Canada. There's lots of amazing Canadian folk musicians who tour, and it's pretty tight-knit, and it's pretty wonderful. I do love living there and playing music there for sure.
That's awesome. And you mentioned you fairly recently picked up the banjo a few years ago. I guess, like, what made you want to make that switch? I hear that the banjo is pretty damn difficult to learn. I don't know. But what made you make that switch?
Well, I actually fell in love with a boy who grew up in Arkansas, and he had a 100-year-old banjo, and I strummed it one time, and I was like, this is the kind of music I want to play. And I just gotten a job at this mac and cheese shack. It was this wooden shack it's great, in Toronto, that sells nothing but amazing macaroni and cheese. And my boss would let me kind of play and learn Ola Bell Reed tunes behind the desk whenever I was working. And then I was working on some sheep farms after that, and I was just really lucky to be able to be surrounded by, you know, community and work that would let me practice while I was working as well, and kind of give me that space to do that. So I was able to learn pretty quickly. And it was really just being surrounded by people into this kind of music that got me into it and helped me realize I loved it.
That's awesome. And also kind of going back to what you said about like how you really got into the Americana stuff and that kind of style with the scene you're involved in. So like when I first heard your music, you know, I'm from Kentucky in the States, and I immediately thought bluegrass, the, you know, folksy kind of stuff. And maybe it's just because I'm a dumb American, I don't know. But like when I hear your music and I make that connect to like kind of like the Appalachian stuff around me, it's kind of crazy how that influence would reach all the way up to where you're from. And I'm just kind of wondering is there like a big connection there with you? And what can you describe, like, maybe? How do you feel about that? Like the connection with like your kind of music, being able to be so much like a culture and a scene that might have originated down here, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually speaking with someone about this the other day, because you know, Canada, we've got folk traditions that you know, we definitely don't have as lengthy a history as the United States does in terms of, you know, settlement and musical development in that way. And we do have, you know, fiddle traditions. We do have folk music, but Appalachian music is, from what I understand, pretty different. And I, you know, I've definitely, it's been one of my biggest influences. So, yeah, I guess how I, you know, I play the music that inspires me and that I love, and it has really inspired me. And that's, I think, probably as much as I could say about it, because I've, you know, I've never been down in that region before, and I really appreciate it. And there are definitely similar themes between rural Canada and that, you know, the area of which we speak. And so I definitely find connection with that kind of music, and a lot more music has been recorded from that region as opposed to, you know, Canadian tradition that at least I've found. And yeah, so it's definitely been something that's really inspired me. But I try, you know, I'm mainly working on original songs right now, and it's probably just one of the elements of North American music that has inspired my music.
Yeah, and I could tell you, just listen to your stuff, you're definitely doing it justice. Not that you need to, because it's your music, it's your style. Like, you do, like, you do what you want, just like any artist should. But but yeah, it's just kind of cool to see that connection, I guess, you know. And kind of going on to like your actual writing and like when you get creative and stuff. Do you find yourself with your sound? I guess first of all, how would you, and you kind of hit on it a bit as we were talking, but how would you describe your sound if you could put it in your own words or your style? Like, how would you say it is?
I guess darker, kind of. At least the writing I'm trying to do now and the projects I'm trying to work on. The banjo songs I'm writing, I'm focusing a lot on modal tunings, and my releases this year are definitely going to be heavily blues inspired. So I'd say that's kind of, yeah, darker folk is what I'm striving for right now. Is it's hard to find descriptors. No professional descriptor, or I guess that's what a songwriter is. Maybe I am. I don't know. Yeah.
But I could certainly see that when you mentioned, like, it is kind of a darker thing, because that's kind of what I was trying to find too, because like that's what made your stuff stick out, is because of course it has the folky stuff and like the bedrock to that sound, but like your music kind of I was talking the same thing about Christina Vane, who sounds kind of similar to what you sound like, and it puts you in like a mindset when I listen to your stuff. Like it's not like you're just listening to a folk song or an Americana song. Like it feels like it's a certain mood to put you in. It's a good thing, but like it puts you in a mood and like a geographical place. I think that it's, I don't know if that makes any sense. I'm kind of rambling now, but like it's just kind of cool how you craft the song to do that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, to kind of bring people to the little world it's created.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. That's, you know, what my favorite musicians have done for me, and what I guess all you can hope as an artist is that you can do the same for other people. So,
yeah. Yeah. And when you do write and everything, do you find yourself like experimenting a lot, like with maybe different types of plan? I know you said you're working on some new stuff that might sound a little different, but do you find yourself experimenting a lot when you record, or is it natural? Does it just like come out of you, or do you have to really work to get that sound? Like, what's that whole process like for you?
My favorite songs personally that I've written have just kind of, you know, butter on bread kind of flown out. Like I'll wake up at 3 a.m. and feel like, I gotta get this on paper, gotta get it on guitar, and it just kind of is like it's already existed in my brain, and I just write it down and record it, but that rarely happens, and I'm trying to get that to happen more, and she's not working all the time. Sometimes I pray for it, but yeah. And then I've been experimenting with different processes like timed writing and whatnot. So I, there's definitely lots of things that I do, and songs do come out of that, but really that kind of state which I referenced is probably the one where I've written my favorite songs, where it just feels easy, and trying to get there more often, but I haven't found the ticket yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, the beauty of it is that like there is no rule, you know? Like every artist I talk to has a different method. And like asking their method, it gets kind of like, you know, mundane after a while, but it is interesting. Some people struggle a lot with one thing that other people can do with their eyes closed, but they still make great songs either way. It's just kind of interesting how that works. Do you co-write at all? Do you collab with other artists when you write?
I haven't really co-written too much, but I did write a song with a friend last summer, and it was really fun. So I'm actually trying to see if I can, just to, I feel that I can get kind of stuck in one style. So I met some people at Folk Canada that, we've got similar writing styles. It would be cool to collaborate with, and yeah, just doing more writing sessions with friends this year is one of my goals. And yeah, just I haven't really done it before, but I've heard it can be something that can take you out of your little boxes we make for our brain. So yeah, my brain box breaker there. Hopefully.
I'd imagine is that like intimidating at all? Surely not with like friends or people you know, but like some people go into writers' rooms or whatnot with people they never met. Like in your experience or what you're looking to do more this year, is it intimidating at all, or do you have like a pretty good head on your shoulder about it? Like what are you thinking there?
Most things are intimidating to me. I am very much a hermit and putting anything. So yes, yeah, I'd probably shit my pants a little bit, but that's okay. I'm no stranger to that. So, it definitely does intimidate me for sure. But the life is just doing things that are intimidating and sitting in the soiled underwear, I guess, while you're doing it.
Right on. Yeah. And kind of moving on a bit, I like to bring this up in every interview and kind of get your guys' thoughts on it is when I for obviously, nowadays with like Spotify and everything, we have like the Release Radar playlist and you get artists that pop up with their new stuff. Like it's at the, it's at your fingertips. But I've always liked the live show. I think a live show or live set, like watching someone live, I think is a big part of it, a way of like meeting, or I mean, not meeting, but like just being introduced to new artists, whether you're stumbling into a bar or something or anything like that. And it also, that's what keeps fans too, I think. It's just a certain like face-to-face connection. And I'm wondering, what do you think about that? Like, do you think the live show is like one of the most important things for an artist to, do, I guess? Or is it like other things that you would prioritize above that? Like, where are you at on that?
Well, okay. So obviously any artist or musician can do things the way that they'd like to do them, and that's perfect to you. But like for me personally, I think that yeah, the live show is, with AI and everything coming up now, I think that's something that can't yet and hopefully for a long time, if ever, be taken away. And so I think for sure that's one of my favorite aspects of music, and I personally love playing with my friends in bands and having each show be different and its own individual magic, and definitely meeting people that have listened to the music before. And I've made lots of friends too, traveling around and playing little shows. And yeah, it's one of the most beautiful experiences, and kind of ties everything together and makes it all worth it. And it's, I get really, really overwhelmed by the internet and online stuff. So, bringing it back to roots, and especially in folk music, I think it's just so important to have community and to have community spaces and to be in person together, listening and to and making music. So for sure, I do think that's one of the most important aspects, and I hope to be touring a lot this year and playing lots of shows. So.
Yeah, right on. I agree. And when you write, do you take into consideration the live aspect of it, if that makes any sense? Like when you actually plan a song out, do you think like, okay, well, how will this sound live? Or is it kind of just like, I'm gonna write a song and I'm just gonna play it live? You know what I mean? Like, do you take that into consideration when you're actually creating?
Oh, for sure, because I write naturally. And this is also why I'd like to try co-writing maybe is when I'm learning music, I learn, real dancey tunes, but when I'm writing, just what has always been natural is, the tearjerkers to me, the ballads and waltzes and just kind of I writing from a place of sorrow or, melancholy is what often flows out most every day. So got, like 50 songs that barely see the light of day because I feel like you can only put a certain amount of gut-wrenching, earth-shattering songs into a set. And I like, having people dance. I like having a mix of emotions in a set. So I definitely write, especially on banjo, tunes with the intention of, how it's all going to tie in together live. And what each song, different colors each song could bring to a set, depending on how it's feeling, how the audience is feeling, what the show is. And definitely each show, I've been trying to experiment with kind of weirding out each song in a special little way each time. So I for sure take the live show into consideration when I write. But again, mainly I don't like to put too many confines on writing. I kind of just what comes out, and most of the stuff I write is for me and will never see the light of day for as long as I live. But some stuff I try to do intentionally, for sure.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, love that. Let's talk a bit about your EP, which I believe just came out about to be like a month ago, right? Bowling Green. And I yeah, February 5th, I think it came out, if I'm correct. But either way, love it. It was the first that I was introduced to you, and I was hooked immediately. It's great. I guess first off, like, were you pretty happy with the reception from your listeners? Like, how it all went? Were you pretty happy with it?
So actually, there was a little clerical error there. So there was I signed with a small indie label in the UK called Run On Records, and we're kind of releasing music. But I'm not technically minded more so. So they were experimenting with a waterfall release, and actually in streaming platforms. There was a mistake which grouped all the singles together as an EP.
Oh.
So that is, it was, those were like four singles, but I will, that, there's only one song missing. So that's pretty much it. And then there's going to be the official EP release in like the next couple of months. So I have been
Okay.
happy, to answer your question, I have been happy, to put out music and have people like it and see videos of people dancing to it. And I love it when some people have been sending me like their kids doing little numbers and nice little messages. So I definitely, I've been super happy. And yeah, and yeah, so I'll do like a whole EP release thing and more promoting of it when it does come out. But thus far, the songs are out there, and I'm happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. I apologize,
Oh no,
but
it's confusing. I was also confused, and it's
Okay.
okay.
Right on. Obviously, it just turned March and we're still at the beginning of the year, so I could still kind of ask this question. So for the year ahead, are there any like goals, I guess? I know it's a cliche question, but are there any short-term, long-term goals for this year that you absolutely want to get done? I know you mentioned like maybe diving more into co-writing and stuff like that, but is there anything off the top of your head that you really want to accomplish this year?
Well, I have a lot of songs I've written just kind of sitting in my behind, and not really, sun doesn't really shine. So I'm think I would really love to finish recording my first album project and putting that out. I am booking a few, or in the process of booking a few support tours, and would love to, I've toured a little bit in rural Canada, and just kind of DIY shows more so, while working on farms in between, and just very, very Canadian way of touring. And so I'd like to, put more energy into that, I think. Just playing as many shows as I can. And I think also, yeah, those are my two biggest musical goals for this year, I guess. Album and tour, and just have fun with it. And
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. And I'm very excited for that potential album then. And that's very exciting. I also saw, are you playing South by Southwest? Is that what it is?
I am, yeah, and
That's
on the
exciting.
16th, yeah, I'll be doing that.
Right on, right on. That's exciting. And thanks a lot, Talise. This was great to finally be able to talk to you. And you did mention that potential music this year. So fingers crossed for that for us listeners. And thanks a lot for hopping on. This was great. And before we go though, if you have any like where people could find you, a website, socials, if you kind of want to just give the names out there so people could find you, the floor is yours.
Well, I think that my on all social media, I'm Talise Tunes, and then on all streaming platforms, just Talise. And I should be on everything, I think, but all the things I know to be on. So yeah, that's kind of where you
Right
can
on.
find me.
Yep, you guys make sure to do that. Promise you won't regret it. It's great music. And you guys also make sure to check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything too. So just Google us and we'll pop up. But again, thank you, Talise. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for having me.
My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try me.